Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Hey, came a loud voice from the sidelines. Why don't you get some glasses, ref? You have to be blind not to see that foul. What do you teach your kid? Yelled another. To trip anyone in his way? He'll give as good as he gets, came the response. What's the use? The ref's on their side anyway, rejoined another. Yeah, piped up a five-year-old watching his brother's game. The referee's really dumb. Boo! From a parent's perspective, how can we be supportive spectators for our children's activities and sports events? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today works with an organization that helps parents and kids and coaches with positive behavior at sports events. Tal Alter has been directly involved with youth sports as a player and a coach, both in the United States and abroad. He's currently the Washington, D.C. coordinator for a newly developed organization based at Stanford University, the Positive Coaching Alliance. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Tal.
Thanks for having me.
What's the most common mistake parents make at their children's activities, especially at sports events?
The most common mistake, I would say, is that parents oftentimes confuse their goals with the goals of their children and the desires of their children. A child, especially at the youth level, which is, I think, primarily what we're talking about here, goes out to play sports because it's fun. They enjoy having fun with their teammates. They enjoy learning new things about sports. Parents sometimes are more worried about the long-term objective of college scholarship. How good is my child? And that turns into win at all costs perspective. And that's not the type of perspective a parent should have. There are other things that parents do because of this lack of perspective. A lot of times they will teach or coach their kid during the course of a game, yell things from the sidelines. And parents underestimate what a kid hears. You know, I think a lot of times parents say things from the sidelines and it's what comes to mind, so they say it. And they're like, well, my kid is in the course of playing. They don't really hear it. But kids hear everything. And so parents need to be aware of how impactful their words are and what they're saying.
What would you call bad behavior on the part of adults at children's events?
Well, generally, I think bad behavior would be behavior that you would not accept out of your child in a non-athletic environment. If you're doing something that if you had a tape of yourself and were looking at it and you know, you were to look at it and say, well, I wouldn't want my child to be acting that way. It's probably not a good idea for you to be acting that way.
So maybe a good idea would be to tape the adults from the sidelines.
Well, that some people have had that idea. And sometimes it works, but sometimes if people know that the camera's on, they'll act differently. But a lot of times that behavior manifests itself in yelling at officials, yelling at your own kid, yelling at the coach. Yelling at your kid's teammates, too.
Do you find that you can pretty much tell which kid has the parent that is a little off the wall because the kid begins to manifest some of those same traits?
You do see that. There are different types of kids. You know, surprisingly, there are kids who respond to, you know, criticism. They're very hard on themselves. They really want to do well. And so you think, well, this kid really likes to be criticized because it makes them work harder. But you can tell the kids that are somewhat more timid are oftentimes, you know, they have parents who are very critical. And the kids that are hard chargers like that, it's not always a good thing. You know, for a 12-year-old to be concerned about the final score is unhealthy.
Isn't it okay to shout encouragement to your own child or his teammate? Is there a certain mindset parents should strive for at their kids' activities?
Well, mindset is a perfect terminology. At Positive Coaching Alliance, we talk about having a mental model of how you go about coaching or parenting. And the mindset a parent should have is, you know, they go to the event and they should think, what does my child or his or her teammate need from me right now? And that's sort of just a general thing. And it should be a checkpoint, you know, before we're not asking parents to go to games and think about everything they say before they say it. But before the game itself, they should think to themselves, I'm going here because my kid wants to have fun, and I should be a major contributor to that.
Do you think they should have little groups for parents before a game? Like the kids have a group, and they get together, and they get all fired up, and maybe there should be a little group for parents?
Well, I don't know about getting fired up.
Getting fired down.
Yeah, maybe getting fired down. Actually, that's something that I've never really thought about, but I like that idea. And I think a group meeting sometimes helps people collect their thoughts and realize what it is that, you know, they are trying to achieve. And I think parents who are win-at-all-cost parents, people who really stress winning to their children, are that way because they think it's the right thing. When they gain perspective on what's best for their child, oftentimes they come to the conclusion that win-at-all-cost is not the right way to go about things.
Well, this sort of feeds into the next question, because some adults would say, well, why do I have to behave differently at my child's games than I do at adult games?
Right.
And in a way, you know, adult games are win at all costs.
Right.
How would you explain that?
Well, first of all, I would say that behaving badly at professional games is not acceptable either. And I'm guilty of it, too. I get frustrated. There's a way to rationalize it. You're paying to see the game. The players on the field are being paid excessive amounts of money to be playing, and it's entertainment. So you can rationalize it and say, well, this game is for the spectator, and therefore the spectator has the right to say and do whatever they want. However, you'll find in professional sports, too, that the home team wins a majority of the games, and that's because the fans are more likely to be cheering for the home team and giving encouragement to the home team, and that fills their emotional tank. You know, they feel good about themselves. They feel like they have support. And when they feel like they're having fun and are doing something that's going to be supported, they're going to be, you know, successful on the field. And so you should take that down a level to youth sports and realize how important it is to have your child with a full emotional tank and feeling good about what they're doing and having fun with what they're doing. So a parent's job is to fill that emotional tank. And so that might be the difference. You might, at a professional event, feel like, well, I don't care how this person feels, even though they do have a mother and a father, just like your child does. But your child and your child's teammates need to have that support, because when they're, you know, playing on the field and they're nervous and they're afraid of failing, they need to feel like their emotional tank is full, and then they will be more successful anyway. One thing that I wanted to say before, when you were asking about, you know, a mindset for parents on the sidelines, is that different children have a different idea of what they want from their parents. Different children react differently to what is being said. The best way to find out what your child wants is to ask.
We had a wonderful situation in my house. We have a whole bunch of non-athletes, and then at the end we have an athlete. And the athlete basically did not want his parents to say anything.
Right.
Okay? He figured we didn't know a thing. We were total morons, and we were not allowed to say a single word. So we have spent years going to games where we were not allowed to say a word before the game, during the game, and after the game.
Right.
And you have a very expressive face, and one of your kids said, and don't bring that, that face.
That might be tougher to do.
It's true. It's a little harder to do if you want to be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is true that some kids don't even want positive comments, and not just from parents who may not know the sport, but even from parents who know a lot. They're afraid of anything their parents might say. They want to concentrate on the game. And so if you want to know how your kid feels, ask them.
And listen, right?
Well, yeah. Listening is probably more important than asking. If your child, what they want, they'll tell you if you listen.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about parents as spectators.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Tal Alter from Positive Coaching Alliance about parents as spectators.
I know you have some examples of poor behavior that we're kind of talking about,
right,
but not being specific about, and I thought maybe you could give us a few.
Sure. Well, I have a list of things, and I don't want to go through all of them because we might get a little bit too down about the situation. But these are extreme examples, and it's important to realize that they do happen. Usually as a result of people losing perspective and then things snowball and get to the point where they can't turn back. In California, we have a story about a parent who beat up his 11-year-old son's baseball coach after the coach took his son out of the game.
Can't imagine.
Well, yeah. I mean, playing time at the 11-year-old level should be for everybody. So if his son's playing, somebody else isn't. That's how he reacted. In Pennsylvania, a police officer gave a young baseball pitcher $2 to hit a fellow 10-year-old little leaguer with a fastball during a game. And the police officer wasn't even related to either of the players.
My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, these are the types of things that parents are seeing and reacting to. And there are parents who would never do this but are afraid to do anything about it when they see it happening.
Well, I guess part of it is that if they feel that the other parent is totally out of control, you don't really want to tangle with that person.
Right.
But there should be some mechanism in place to deal with that so that an individual parent who's outraged doesn't have to take it on. Is that part of what the Positive Coaching Alliance does?
We do talk about that. We give a lot of responsibility to the coach, him or herself, to deal with that before the season, have a parent meeting, write a parent letter. In the workshops that we do, we have examples of these meetings and these letters at the back of our workbooks, and that's important. It's also, there's nothing wrong with someone taking charge and saying, that's not the way we do things here. We talk a lot about a culture, a youth sport culture, and that should be a positive culture. And so that starts from the top, you know, the youth sports organizers, but it can go to the grassroots level, every single parent, every single person involved with that youth sports organization. If they want this positive culture, it's their job to maintain it.
What about adults who really do know something about the sports their kids are playing, unlike Sandy and myself, when we've gone to our children's sports events? It took me many, many years just to understand what an offsides call meant.
Right.
Isn't it natural for those kinds of parents to be more critical and even more vocal?
I think the answer to that question is the parents who think they know a lot about the sport are going to be more vocal and more critical. We've found in the work that we've done that professional level coaches, college level coaches, and most oftentimes varsity high school level coaches are more likely to be quiet and let the coach do their job, let their kid perform on the field. People who have achieved some level of excellence know what it takes to achieve that level. They know they didn't achieve it by having some parent telling them what to do on the sideline, especially someone who feels like they know all the answers to everything. And one example of that, and this works for the kids just as much as for the coaches, but Peyton Manning, who plays for the Indianapolis Colts, is a quarterback, and his father was a very successful quarterback too. But his father told his son that you can do whatever you want, you can be a quarterback, you can play football, but it has to be your initiative. You have to come to me and ask me for advice. And he never went to his son, he never forced anything on his son. And, you know, he's a very successful quarterback. And I would attribute that to him wanting to do it and wanting to be good at it. And you achieve success when you want to do something. So having someone impose their knowledge upon you is not the best way to go about things.
One of my sons played on a soccer team with Jack Kemp's son.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Kemp, I think, played football for Buffalo. He was the quietest parent on the team. He stood very quietly in the background, never yelled or screamed, except if someone got hurt, he used to yell, "Get down." And they all used to kneel down and have a rest while the issue was being taken care of. But other than that, he was never vocal at the games.
Yeah.
He knew better, I guess.
Right. Well, I mean, in order to get anything across to your kid, and I'm sure this is true for everything, not just sports, you have to have a good rapport with them. And any child or coach, you know, who's intimidated by someone's knowledge about something, who feels like someone is imposing that knowledge on them, is not likely to have that good rapport. And then you're not going to have that type of success that you're trying to initiate.
Well, that brings up the question about teenage referees when you've got grown-up parents who can be very intimidating. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Well, as a parent, that referee should be viewed as your own child. You know, we talked about the sort of the sideline mental model. You should not treat that referee any differently than you would want your child to be treated. And, you know, very easily in 3 or 4 years when your child reaches that referee's age, they could be the one refereeing. And you don't want your child to be treated that way by other parents. So it's perspective. I mean, this is the appropriate title of the show. You have to maintain perspective. You have to go into these events with a level of knowledge about how you want to deal with things that could happen.
We recently had a story, I think, in the Washington Post about an incident with a referee.
Right. Well, I think it was a 16-year-old female referee refereeing an under-14 soccer game. And this got a lot of negative publicity, and rightly so. I mean, it's unfortunate for the people involved, but the parents were yelling at the referee during the course of the game. And following the game, they followed her into the parking lot and continued berating her. And she felt threatened physically. I don't know if there was any physical contact. There probably wasn't. But that's irrelevant, really. I mean, having any sort of negative interaction with a teenage referee is unnecessary. And if you don't feel like they're doing a good job, there's plenty of 16-year-olds who don't try as hard as maybe they should. Maybe referees aren't giving the full effort. There's a way to talk to that referee without imposing, you know, threats.
Well, maybe is it the job of parents on opposing teams to speak to the referee, or is it the job of those parents, if they didn't feel the referee was doing a good job, to go through whatever channels are available after
the
game?
Yeah, I really think any interaction with the referee is too much interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Saying thank you, good job is appropriate. But if you have complaints about that referee, you know, deal with the youth sports organizers, the referees association, whoever hired that person. That might be a way to handle it. You know, quite frankly, it's not that important what happens in these games. If the referee has an impact, so be it. You know, it's a life lesson. Not everything goes your way. Sports is a great way to learn these life lessons. So, you know, tell your child, the referee might not have done the best job today, but, you know, you're going to be in situations where people might hurt your chances of succeeding. And you're going to have to deal with it there. And yelling at them, berating them, is not really the way to go about it.
I think what you just said is about the most important reason for involving kids in sports.
Yeah, well, that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about parents as spectators.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Tal Alter from Positive Coaching Alliance about parents as spectators.
What sideline commandments can you suggest for parents as spectators? How can we make our presence a positive influence?
Well, we talk about honoring the game. And that, you know, again, you know, with this theme about life lessons, it's really honoring life, you know, honoring the way you would live life. But specifically, to the game, we have a mental model, again, that we have, it's called ROOT, R-O-O-T-T. And the ROOT stands for respect for the rules of the game, for the opponents that your kids are playing against, for the officials, for the teammates of your child, and for the tradition of the game. And that goes to just respecting the fact that the game is bigger than yourself. And it is a game. And games are supposed to be fun. It's easy to forget, I guess, sometimes, but that's the most important thing for a parent to remember.
Well, it's nice for a parent to remember, and also for a parent to communicate that
to their child.
Theory to their child.
Sure.
So that the child realizes that he or she fits into something rather than being the entire purpose
of
it.
And the child's likely to mimic their parents' behavior.
How about discussing specific moves or plays from the game afterward with your child? Is that okay?
It's generally not a good idea. As a parent, if you did not volunteer to be the coach, then there's a reason for that. You shouldn't act as the coach after the game. It is okay, and we talked before about listening to your child. If they have a question, okay, you know, that's a fair time to to give your advice. You know, if their child asks a question, you shouldn't say, well, I don't have an answer for that, sorry, unless that's what it is. I mean, you should talk it out, but you should listen to them. If they have a question that you have an answer to, feel free to give that answer. There are also, we talk about teachable and non-teachable moments. You know, after the game, when let's say your child is playing baseball, they struck out a few times, you notice something about their swing that they were doing wrong. After the game is not the best time to talk about that. Maybe the next day, I notice some things about your swing. I have a few ideas. Are you interested in hearing them? If yes, go for it. If no, respect that too.
I notice you have some materials in this Positive Coaching Alliance kit that you gave us about how to deal with your child. They seem very helpful suggestions.
We have a website. It's www.positivecoach.org.
Would you repeat that?
www.positivecoach.org. And in there, under resources and for parents, we have something called Guidelines for a Coach-Parent Relationship, which is a lot of times overlooked. The importance that the coach of your child has on your kid a lot of times can stem from the relationship you have with that coach. And we're not talking about, you know, getting your kid more playing time by being buddies with the coach, but just like a parent would have a positive relationship with a teacher. You would want your child to succeed in the classroom, and having a negative relationship with the teacher is not a good way to achieve that. So we have an outline for how to deal with the coach, and we also have something called value-laden conversations, which is a way for parents to initiate conversations with their children about sports.
Do you want to give some examples of that so parents will know what we're talking about?
One of the important things is to ask rather than to tell. Always ask your child, how are you feeling about this? You know, what are you looking to do in this situation? And then listen attentively. Your child will tell you a lot, maybe not as much as they get to be older and older, but when they're at the youth sport level, they'll tell you how they're feeling about things if they feel that you're really listening.
And I guess the idea is not to then put your judgment on their feelings,
right,
to allow them to have whatever feelings they have,
right,
and validate that by saying, is that so,
whatever. Well, you don't have to have
them.
All the answers.
That's a wonderful thing for parents to remember. We don't have to have all the answers.
Right. And also let your child dictate the length of the conversation. If you feel that they've cut the conversation short, there's a reason for that, and it's not your place really to make them talk about it more if they don't feel comfortable. You have to remember that your child should be rewarded for giving a good effort. You know, I played college sports, and I even played a year professionally abroad. And so I feel like I attained some level of success athletically. My parents, partially because they weren't very knowledgeable about the game, but also because they realized to get the best out of me, you know, they could be critical of my effort. They could be critical of my attitude. But if they were criticizing the results, you know, errors I was making, bad at-bats that I had, they weren't going to get anything out of me. And I feel like I was able to be successful because I felt support from them. And parents should keep their kids in line. If their attitude is poor, they should have a conversation with them about it. Why is your attitude poor? That's not how we'd want you to handle yourself in other areas of life, so you shouldn't handle yourself that way on the field either.
So the idea is there's a relationship between behavior on the field and off the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tal, we know that you gave a website before. Are there any other resources that you can suggest for parents to learn to be positive spectators?
Well, first of all, I think it's important for parents to be as knowledgeable. We talked about, are more knowledgeable parents likely to be more critical? I gave you the answer of no. I think parents that are more knowledgeable about the sport their child is playing are more likely to react the right way to things that are happening on the field or on the court. We do have ways that we try to get parents to handle themselves better with their children. We have workshops that we do. It's called a PCA parent workshop. We usually run these workshops through youth sports organizations. So parents can talk to their youth sports organizations about getting in touch with Positive Coaching Alliance. They can do this through the website that we mentioned before.
Is there a phone number as well?
There's a phone number. I am in Washington, D.C., so for people in on the East Coast or in that area, they should get in touch with me. My phone number is 202-338-4843.
You want to say that again?
202-338-4843.
Now, what about people in the Midwest and the Far West?
Midwest, right now, we don't have any offices. We're trying to become as national as possible. We have done workshops in Chicago, done workshops in Boston. We've done workshops in Oregon and California. We want to be national, so never hesitate to get in touch with us. Our national office is based at Stanford, and the number at that office is 650-725-0024.
Did I do that again?
Okay. 650-725-0024.
And people just have to remember when they call, whichever coast they're calling, they have to remember what time zone
right.
that office is in.
Right. Yeah. And people who don't have resources for the workshops, we have a CD-ROM that you can buy over the website, over the internet. Our director, whose name is Jim Thompson, has a book called Positive Coaching. Chapter 13 is about developing outstanding competitors that can really help parents. You know, if they want their kids to be successful athletes, he has some tips in there. And a lot of it is just about how to be a positive coach. And really, there's not much difference between parenting and coaching.
Except for the up in the middle of the night diaper and stuff.
And the college tuition.
There are a couple of other things.
Right, but the mental model is not that different.
Right. Since you mentioned it earlier, let's have the website one more time, just in case people didn't write it down.
Yeah, and there are ways to link up to people in different cities on the website, so it's a good resource. It's www.positivecoach.org.
Our special thanks today to Tal Alter for cluing us in to better spectator behavior at our children's activities. Thanks so much.
It was my pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about us and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.